guest here today, you may need to know that Corner Church is the, well, it was the brainchild of the Holy Spirit, but one of the ways the Holy Spirit made the Corner Church come into being is taking a church called Gateway and a church called Freeway and bringing them together into this one new thing. And Pastor Jackie is, I'm giving you this background because she's about to preach her first sermon at Corner Church,
yes.
But it is by no means your, yeah, we can take a minute to celebrate that. I mean, no one cheered when I came up for my first sermon, but be that as it may, I know you all love me too. Pastor Jackie, come on up. And I will say, I gave that background partly because I was downstairs as we were all gathering. I was talking to someone from Freeway, and they said, oh, Pastor Jackie's preaching today. My first chance to hear her. I'm really excited.
No pressure.
No pressure. And I am very excited to hear what the Lord will say to us through you. And I'm really thrilled that, that I get this opportunity to do ministry with you and to serve Corner Church together. We've got to know one another, I think, very well in the last couple of months as we together try to lead along with Pastor Danny as well. And so let me pray for you as you prepare to share the word, and let's all unite our hearts. The first time you pray to a preach to a congregation can be a bit nerve-wracking, and even though part of the congregation is old friends,
it wasn't nerve-wracking until now.
The first time you preach to a congregation should be nerve-wracking. Even though many are old friends, some are new friends,
yes.
And but we all love you, and we can't wait to hear what the Spirit is saying. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the gifts of your Spirit. Thank you for Pastor Jackie and her willingness and availability to be led by you, the ministry that she does and has done in this building, in this place, both Corner Church and when it was Gateway Church. You have used her, and we trust you will do so this morning. We tune our hearts to you, and we are listening expectantly to hear how you will speak through her this morning. Anoint her with your Spirit. Give her power and boldness in the word we pray. Amen.
Amen. Are you guys ready? I hope so. Well, I started off really well so far. I'm pulling the things apart. All right. There we go. So today we are, if you open your bulletins, you'll be able to follow along with the scriptures that we're reading for today. I'm just going to get right into it. Today we're going to be reading from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 32 to chapter 12, verses 3. You can pull open your Bible or your phone if you have it there as well. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Japheth, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released, so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. Since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. I remember in middle school, we went to Washington, D.C. for a field trip. We stopped at a war memorial. I got off the bus, and I didn't quite understand what I was seeing. There were these black walls with really teeny tiny white writing on them. And as I got closer to the walls, I started to realize what was going on and what I was seeing. It was names of people who had died in a particular war. Thousands of names, it felt like. It just went on and on and on. These were people who sacrificed their lives in the line of duty by joining the military. Whether we agree with a certain war or not is not important for today. What is important is that we understand the incredible and overwhelming sacrifice of those who gave up their lives. As I got closer to the memorial wall, right, we walked up, we got off the bus, and we walked up. As I got closer, I was filled with so many different emotions. I was filled with sadness, confusion, grief, some inner turmoil, anger, and thankfulness. I was thankful. I am thankful for the freedom that I get to enjoy because of the sacrifice that those soldiers made for me. Every night lately at bedtime, we read to Jareth every night, but lately we've been reading a book, and it's about, he likes historical fiction. I'm not a history person, but he really enjoys it. And we've been reading a book about children who were hiding during World War II. They were a Jewish family in hiding. And as I were reading this book, which is, you know, meant for children, but it still reminds me of the horrible things that happen in this world and how grateful I am for those who sacrificed to end these wars and these atrocities. Today is Remembrance Day, as you well know. I'm American, so I took some time to look up what exactly Remembrance Day is for, because we celebrate something a little bit different. It's a day that we take time to remember those who were in the armed forces, who died in the line of duty. This day of memorial has been observed since the end of the First World War, which was 100 years ago. And the red poppy, as you all are wearing, I see so many people wearing them, is a symbol that we use to remember Remembrance Day. It's a symbol that we choose to wear. And today we take time to remember those who sacrificed their freedom. The phrase that I hear a lot on Remembrance Day is, lest we forget. Now, I had to look this phrase up too, because again, that's not something that we say in America, but it means it should not be forgotten. So we need to remember, lest we forget. I feel that this phrase is actually quite perfect for the scripture that we read today, lest we forget. When we speak of Hebrews 11, which gives us this huge list of people who died sacrificing for our freedom in Christ, and it talks about the faith that they had. Hebrews 12 comes in at the end and talks about Jesus himself. So we're going to take some time this morning and unpack this passage of scripture together. I really like going, not quite line by line, but you'll see how I like to do things. I really like to make sure we're getting the fullness of what God has for us out of this scripture. So the scripture will come up on the screen. You'll be able to read it with me. And if you take notes, it's a great time to do that. In the beginning of Hebrews 11, in which we talked about last week, it talks about faith. It says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance of what we do not see. I want us to keep this in our mind as we go through all the scripture today, because we're talking about faith, and that's very important. So let's go ahead and get started. Verse 32 lists even more heroes of faith, right? It talks about Gideon and Barak and Samson and David. And the writer of Hebrews could have wrote more, but says that there was no time. What I really like to note here is that these people are great heroes of faith, but they also had great areas of failure. For example, Gideon. Gideon did amazing things, right? Gideon, he destroyed idols. He boldly destroyed idols, and he defeated a large army of Midianites. But he doubted God's word and asked God for confirmation over and over and over and over. I say that because I want to encourage us, when we look to these heroes of the Old Testament, these heroes of faith, they're not something we can't reach. They're attainable because we too are not perfect, but we strive for perfection through the help of the Holy Spirit and our walk with Christ. Verse 33 to 35 talks about how by faith, some of these heroes of faith were victorious over their circumstances. The passage alludes to stories in the Old Testament like David, Elijah and Elisha, Caleb, Daniel, Sarah, Esther, and more. These faith miracles include, as you can see, conquering kingdoms, shutting the mouths of lions, escaping the fury of the flame, and more. The next part of the verse, verses 35 to 38, talk about how by faith some were victorious under their circumstances. So sometimes God will help us be victorious over our circumstances by doing miraculous things. And sometimes he'll help us be victorious under our circumstances. So even through these bad things. In this particular passage, he talks about heroes of faith that were tortured, mocked like Samson, imprisoned, stoned like Zechariah, sawed in two, tempted, slain by the sword like the prophets in Elijah's day. Some wore sheepskins, and some lived in caves like David. They were hunted and persecuted, and yet they kept their faith. Verses 39 to 40 said this, "These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. Since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. We, meaning each of us, have more reasons to have faith than even these heroes of the Old Testament. We have more reason to have faith through our trials, through our difficulties, through temptation, through anything God throws at us or the devil throws at us through God. We have the ability because we can look back to the heroes of faith and because we have something that they didn't. All of those heroes were good testimonies, but they didn't have the fulfillment of the promise." Right? The fulfillment of the promise is the completed work of the Messiah on our behalf. That is something that we have that all of these great heroes of faith did not. We should have more reason to have faith through our trials and difficulties because we can see and enjoy Christ's redemptive work on the cross. We have access to the Holy Spirit to guide each and every one of us. It wasn't something that was bestowed upon certain people for a certain time. It's something that each of us have access to right now today. The heroes of the Old Testament couldn't be made complete until the work of Christ. Lest we forget. All their faithfulness, everything that they did, should not be forgotten by us. Their faithfulness makes our faith a little easier. When we know that people have gone before us and we remember what they've sacrificed, it should elicit a response in us. When we hear, for example, that someone died in war, fighting to save us from an enemy that could potentially take our lives, then we need to live differently in response to that. Maybe you hear something about that and you decide to become more patriotic. Or maybe you decide yourself you want to enlist. Maybe you want to give funds to war efforts. Maybe you want to write letters to soldiers who are away for the holidays. There are many things that we can do when we hear about these things. There are responses that we should be doing and taking. Maybe we want to stand up for justice a little bit more often. Maybe we just simply live our lives making better choices because our lives have been spared and we can live in freedom. Similarly, when we hear about these heroes of faith, when we hear about their faith, we should be changed. We should have a response to that. Their lives and faithfulness should elicit something in us, should elicit a change in us and a response from us. And that response will be different for everybody. The Holy Spirit should stir your hearts and help guide you and prompt us to respond. Heroes 12 makes a shift from looking at the heroes of the Old Testament to looking at Jesus. This is my favorite part of the verse. It's only three little pieces, but this is my favorite part. Hebrews 12, 1 to 3. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. There are actually two different ways that you can interpret this particular portion of the verse. This can be interpreted by understanding that the great cloud of witnesses are those heroes of faith in the Old Testament that have gone before us. Not that they can see us, right? They're not witnesses in that they can see us, but they are witnesses to us in the sense that our lives get reflected through their lives and faithfulness. And that helps us to have courage and faith. When we look to them, it's almost like a mirror to our own lives. The other way it can be understood, and I kind of like this way, is that as Christians, we are surrounded by people in our everyday lives. And they are looking at us. What is the Christian doing in this situation when something comes up? So whether you're at work, you're at the grocery store, you're driving your car with your Jesus fish on the back, no matter what, people are looking to you if you identify as a Christian. And they are witnessing your behavior. They're witnessing the things that we are doing. So two questions. Does your faith live up to the faith of the heroes in the Old Testament? Does your faith and life reflect the perfect sacrifice of our Savior? Either way, the verse goes on to tell us that we need to throw off everything that hinders and throw off the sin that so easily entangles. That's pretty self-explanatory, but I wanted to talk about it a little bit. Sin holds us back. It's the truth. It holds us back from so many things. It holds us back from enjoying life. It holds us back from the things that God has for us. And I love this imagery here of sin that's entangling like a plant. I remember as a kid, I liked being in the woods a lot. I was constantly like catching frogs in the ponds and all that stuff. I was dirty all the time. But I remember running through the forest oftentimes and all of a sudden I'd get like tangled up, right? And I'd look down, there'd be sticker bushes. Jesse said that you guys don't call them that. I don't know what else to call them, but they're like, they have all these like things and thorns and they get caught in your pants and you have to like really carefully take them out of your pants before you can keep going. But you have to be careful because they can hurt you, right? That's like sin. It gets its grip around your life and you can't just like throw it off. You have to slowly and easily untangle yourself from it. Choices also can hold us back. 1 Corinthians 10:23 says, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Something like watching TV or playing video games is a choice. And I love video games, okay? But, so this isn't inherently wrong, but if you do too much of it, too much of anything can cause an issue, right? If you're watching too much TV, then you're not taking time to do the things that God might have for you in another area of your life. So choices can hold us back. Sin obviously holds us back. Sin is a problem. It is dangerous. And Scripture says, throw it off. So let's do that. Sweet and simple. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So let us run. I love this. Let us run. Let us do it together. I could try to do it alone, but I do so much better together. God gave us a community of faith for a reason. Even God himself, if you think about it, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, exists within community. The word perseverance here comes from a Greek word that means patient, enduring, steadfastness. So this gives us a picture of a determination that is steady but unhurried. Because the race is our entire lives, right? It's never going to end until we meet with Jesus. But it refuses to be defeated, and that's what we need to make sure we're doing. The word race here is a metaphor that can refer to a struggle in the soul. The Greek word here is also used in other parts of the Bible it's translated to conflict or other various struggles. Acts 20:24 says, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Verse 2 says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The ultimate example for us is Jesus. That's why we're here. We're here to learn more about Jesus. The Old Testament heroes of faith are really good testimonies. But we need to fix our eyes on Jesus. We shouldn't be looking to be like King David or Barak or Gideon. We should be looking at Jesus as our example. Common phrases that kind of came to mind were, you know, keep your eye on the ball or your eye on the prize, right? Our prize is Jesus. When I was reading this part in this verse, I instantly thought about the story of Peter walking on water in Matthew 14. Jesus is walking on water. Right? Most of us know this story, but if you don't, he's walking on water and Peter says to him, "Lord, if it's you, like, tell me to come." And Jesus says, "Come." And so what does Peter do? He gets out of the boat and he walks on water too, which is, I mean, pretty crazy. We read the story and we're just like, oh yeah, okay, Jesus walking on water again. No, like Jesus walked on water and so did this other guy, okay? All right. But when Peter noticed the wind start to pick up, he started to sink. He took his eyes off of Jesus and he started to sink. So remember that story, because that's what happens. I find that in my life. When I get distracted, when I take my eyes off of Jesus, that's when things get really hard. Jesus is our focus, he is our inspiration, and he is our example. And we need to look at him and stop looking at anything else. He is the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Philippians 1:6 talks about it this way: being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion into the day of Christ Jesus. That's a promise that he began a good work in you and he will complete it. You can hold on to that promise. The rest of the verse of part 2 says, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." I was a little confused when I read this. I was like, well, the cross isn't joy, like, right? But the thing is the cross is not joy, but beyond the cross was joy. And the same thing in our lives. Our hardships are obviously not joy, but beyond our hardships, there is joy. Through God's promise, God's miracles, our faith, persevering through bad things. Jesus endured the cross to redeem us. He endured the pain, the shame, the mockery, the false accusations, the beating, the crown, all of it. For me, for you, for all of us. The last part of the scripture that we're reading today is verse 3. "Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Jesus endured so much hostility, and we will too. That's what the Bible says. He doesn't ask us to do more than he experienced himself. And he knows exactly what we are going through. So he can keep us from becoming weary, keep us from becoming discouraged, if only we look to him. Lest we forget, again, if only we remember what he did and what he went through for each of us. When life is overwhelming, when at every turn it feels like there's something blocking you or you can't keep going, something isn't right, or you feel in some areas of your life sin is overtaking you, or perhaps you feel persecution or suffering because you're a Christian, maybe in your family or in your workplace, remember that no matter what, because of what Jesus did for us, we should be living our lives differently. His sacrifice should elicit a response from us. Our lives should be radically different because of what he did for us by taking our sin onto himself. I've said it before, but I have a really hard time believing that someone, if you've met Jesus and you're not different, then I have a hard time believing that you met Jesus, because he really should change our lives from the inside out. There should be a noticeable difference in your life. No matter what, fix your eyes on Jesus. Don't forget about the testimonies in the Old Testament of these heroes of faith. They're there for a reason, and they are important. But never forget what Jesus did for you and what he does for you every single day by interceding to the Father on your behalf. You can look to Jesus. Despite your circumstances, look to Jesus. Can I have the worship team come back up? While they're coming back up, I want to share with you some practical next steps. So I like to finish by giving you something you can actually do. So I want to encourage you to pray today to look to Jesus this week and see how differently your week might go if you intentionally choose to look to him in every area. Maybe take some time and research modern day heroes of faith that you can read some biographies about. I find it encourages my faith when I see other people living in a modern world and standing up for the things that they believe in. Find a ministry team to serve on, like our community impact team or our children's ministry. That's a really good way to make sure we're fixing our focus and eyes on Jesus. And join a corner group. We have a Wednesday night Bible study. We have men's and women's ministries. We have Sunday school in the kitchen before church. We have an Alpha, a new one starting in January. There's so many opportunities for us to really dig in to Jesus through our church. So let us pray. Lord, we thank you for giving us heroes of faith to look at. When we are feeling overwhelmed, help us to look to you this week as we go from this place. Help us to remember that we have others looking at us. Help us, Lord, to be your hands and feet right where we are, despite any pushback we may receive. Help us to have faith amidst our struggles. Help us push off sin and choose to look to Jesus every day. Help us to rely on the Holy Spirit in our journey. Help us to engage in the purpose and destiny you have for our lives. Today we take a step forward in our journey of faith and look to you in all that we do, Jesus. Thank you so much, God. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Jackie, for sharing that with us this morning. Just as we always want to be faithful in Christ, it's also important to just recognize that he's always faithful in us as well. And this next song is all about faith, and I would just really encourage you to